Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am thrilled to be back again this week with you to help you let go of fear, and we'll all get our lives in gear. And I want to wish you a wonderful, sweet, loving, happy Valentine's Day. And today we're going to talk about the all the good, bad, and ugly, and wonderful, and indifferent kinds of things that come up around this most romantic of holidays. And I want to share with you that I am very excited to be back home again in New York City after spending a wonderful week with a beautiful group of people in Mexico. For the last few years, I have escaped every February with a great group of folks doing yoga and meditation and personal development work south of the border and grabbing some sun along the way. And this week I had a wonderful opportunity to be with a super group of people. And I was thinking about this show today and coming back on Valentine's Day. And we talked about Valentine's Day over the last few years. It's actually turned out that I've been with the group in Mexico on Valentine's Day a few times. And it's really interesting what comes up for people around this time of year. And I took a poll of the group and kind of checked in with people about how they felt about coming back to their sweethearts or perhaps not coming back to their sweethearts. And it's very interesting that almost invariably it's kind of half and half. I would say that half the group is excited and looking forward to being with their partner, their husband, their wife, their loved one. And the other half either is looking forward to it or even has some trepidation about it. And the funny thing is that the half that have their issues or difficulties with Valentine's Day, they're not all single. But the issue that comes up invariably is this idea of feeling sometimes lonely, even in a relationship. And the difference that we talked about between that wonderful experience of being alone and feeling good about being alone and that sometimes very difficult and challenging emotion that we call loneliness. And, you know, it's interesting that in my group this week, about half the people experienced some level of loneliness, even in a partnership. And sometimes around Valentine's Day, it actually gets worse for people. They have expectations, or maybe they've been in a relationship a long time and they've had disappointments. And this feeling of loneliness, which we arrived at the conclusion that that sense of loneliness is really more a feeling of longing for intimacy as opposed to a sense of being comfortable with being alone. And so today, I think it's actually really perfect that even before I left for my trip, I had invited a very special guest to join me today, and we together had named our show Being Your Own Valentine. So today we're going to talk about this dynamic of whether or not you're in a relationship or you're looking for one or perhaps you're not currently in one. How do you find that sense of comfort with yourself, that sense of empathy and love and connection with yourself, even in a relationship or even when you're single? So today we are going to dig deep into the complexities and the challenges and the wonderful parts of Valentine's Day. So before I introduce my guests, I just want to remind you that if you'd love to join in, we'd love to have you call in. And if you have a question or a comment, you can find us at 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. Or you can also contact us directly with instant feedback and messages through www.transformationtalkradio.com, where we are online and ready to hear from you. So let's get started. I want to introduce my very special guests. Melissa Zwanger is joining me. Melissa is a transformational coach, what she calls a goddess coach. She has been in the coaching business for over 20 years and works with women and men, executives, business owners. She has an international client base and offers a whole range of coaching programs. She offers intuitive readings, workshops, and her focus is on helping people nurture personal and professional relationships, how to come to a place of unbridled passion and receive the abundant prosperity that we all deserve. Melissa uses a whole range of modalities, including NLP, tarot readings, astrology, hypnosis, and Hawaiian Huna healing. And I know her personally. I've been to her. I know her work. And I can say from personal experience that she's truly an expert in the domain of relationships and intimacy and what we're going to talk today about, which is how to fall in love with yourself. So welcome, Melissa.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Dr. J. I am honored that you invited me to do this show with you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's always exciting to have you back. And I know when I was thinking about having this show and the fact that it fell on Valentine's Day, and I was thinking about the way that Valentine's Day comes up for people as sometimes this wonderful romantic opportunity to reconnect with our loved ones, but also at times a challenging holiday, because everywhere around us on the TV shows and on the bulletin boards, and everyone is supposedly celebrating. And I know even last week, as I was saying, in my straw poll, at least half the people had some trepidation about whether Valentine's Day was a great holiday or whether it was sometimes the most difficult day of the year. And so I thought you would be the perfect person to bring on the show and talk with our listeners about, no matter where you are in your life, how to turn this day and maybe every day into an opportunity to reconnect with yourself and to be your own Valentine. So I know this is an area where you do a lot of work with your clients. Perhaps the best way to get started is for you to share maybe a little bit about what's coming up this week with some of your clients, and what are the themes that people bring to you, and what are your starting points for supporting people through this wonderful but sometimes challenging holiday.
Well, you're so right that this is a really triggering holiday for so many people. And there's so much that that the media puts upon it. There's this sense of expectation that people have, and this sense of idyllic love that people are supposed to be experiencing on this day. So there's so much that's built up around it that by the time people get there, they're frightened about what they might experience, what they might miss out on, what they should, and I put that in quotes, be experiencing. So there are all kinds of judgments that people have about what this day is supposed to be like for them, and that creates so much pressure. I was just speaking with a client of mine, and she was feeling that pressure, and she was reminiscing about a relationship that she had had and that was really disappointing for her, that brought up actually a lot of grief for her because Valentine's Day is now here and she's no longer in that relationship. And I also heard her judging her ability to have a relationship based on that relationship not working out. So again, people are making a lot of assessments about how they are in love relationships, what kind of partner they are, were they a good partner, a bad partner, are they doomed to have a certain kind of relationship. So they're all judgments that people have, and many of them show up on this day.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you would mention assessments. I think that between the assessments and comparisons that we do with other people and also the expectations that we have, there's almost sort of inevitability that you're going to be set up for some level of disappointment no matter how great your partner is.
Exactly. The expectations are just huge, and they're built up to be huge. And a lot of it, unfortunately, has to do with consumerism that's driving that expectation. And that's really, for me, that's very sad, because the experience of love is so personal for each individual and for each couple that it really can't be put into a cookie-cutter mold. And that's how it's presented in a lot of advertising, because there's obviously companies want to sell product and they want to make it as exciting and as romantic as possible, but there's this cachet, there's this sense of, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. And people are at all levels of experience in terms of what they're experiencing. Some people are in relationships, some people aren't, some people want to be, some people don't want to be. And so it's really, there's that expectation is turned into this, it's almost like a goal, you know, like I'm supposed to live up to having this experience on Valentine's Day, which in my opinion is ridiculous, because the experience of love is available 24/7 every single day of the year. So
yeah, I think you're really touching on something that, you know, it's a really interesting paradox, because the great thing about Valentine's Day is it is an opportunity, as you said, to sort of step back and, whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, to ask yourself, you know, where is the love in your life? How are you feeling about love in general, loving others, being loved? And what I think we're going to spend a lot of time on today on the show is whether you're kind of in love with yourself, because at the end of the day, it's very difficult to live up to any of these expectations if we don't feel that self-love. We don't feel a sense of love being generated from within. And so the good opportunity at a Valentine's Day is for us to do a check-in with ourselves. And unfortunately, it gets overlaid, as you said, with a lot of commercial expectations. And I think what we're going to do today, Melissa, is I would love, when we get back from our first break, I would love for you to dig into how you, I know as an expert, support, help people get through and over this barrier of expectation and dig into feeling and connecting with themselves, perhaps in a whole new way that they can carry throughout the year.
Wonderful. I'd love to.
So we will be right back. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will dig into Valentine's Day.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more. Talk to a health coach and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I'm here today with goddess coach, transformational coach, Melissa Zwanger. And we are talking about the gifts and challenges of this wonderful day called Valentine's Day. And just as a quick reminder, if you want to join us and have a question or a thought, we are at 1-800-930-2819, or you can reach us directly at transformationtalkradio.com. We're online and happy to hear from you. So Melissa and I were just digging into the gifts and challenges, as we like to call it, of this wonderful holiday. And no matter where you are in your life in terms of your relationship status, I think that, as I was saying before the break, it's Valentine's Day can be a wonderful opportunity to step back and assess not so much comparisons about whether you have it as good as other people, your relationship is as good as someone else's, or you're more lonely or you're less lonely, but thinking of it in terms of the question, is there love in my life? You know, how do I express love in my life? How do I receive love in my life? And Melissa was sharing with us that her clients are bringing that kind of question to her this week, and she has different ways of helping them shift their perspective on some of the judgments and shoulds and perhaps some of the negative voices and narratives that they bring to this holiday. So, you know, Melissa, I'd love to have you jump in and share with us some of the techniques and practices that you offer to people who perhaps are struggling a little bit with keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, on this Valentine's Day.
There are so many practices that I can recommend. One of the most important ones that I actually just worked with a client on today is reframing the story. And what that means is that we have all kinds of stories that we tell ourselves about why things happened in our lives or why a certain relationship went a certain way, why we're in the situation that we're in. And with this particular client, what I was helping her to see is that the relationship that she was in, which had ended and was incredibly painful, was a relationship in which she had, in the very beginning stages, had bypassed her own intuition about it with regard to several different areas and behaviors that she was witnessing in this person that she was involved with. And the story that she had been telling herself is that he left her and that she was unlovable and that he just went on to the next woman or the next series of women and there was something wrong with her. And I said, well, if you really look at what happened when you were dating him in the beginning, there were certain things that you observed about him and his behavior that were not in alignment with your value system, and you bypassed your own intuition by not addressing those issues. For whatever reason, again, with no judgment, just noticing that that's what
right.
actually happened.
Right.
And that shifted her entire perspective of this situation so that she could see that she had actually created this outcome, co-created it, rather than being a victim.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, I think the idea that we look back on our relationships, that so-called ones that didn't work, and have a story about it that, first of all, we did something wrong, or we made bad choices, or that they, we always hear, you know, the classic is that I'm a failure. And instead, what you're pointing to is reframing the story for what you can learn from yourself.
Exactly.
In these situations.
Exactly. So in other words, why did this happen? Looking at the situation from a very compassionate viewpoint, not what did I did wrong or what was my problem, but what was it in me that co-created this situation with the other person? How did this evolve? And there is always a learning opportunity in every single relationship, and there is a gold mine of learning available. So we help shift our own story by looking at that and bringing compassion and empathy to ourselves around some of the wounds that could have, for example, in this client's situation, could have caused her to bypass her intuition. Most likely that's right. Something that she was doing a lot of, and this was part of that pattern.
Yeah, no, that's great. And helping people get in touch with what their real values are.
Yes.
So that they, you know, it's funny. We talk about doing an assessment during Valentine's Day. And even if you're in a relationship and you may be relatively happy in the relationship, the one positive possibility at this time is to step back with your loved one and look at whether your values are aligned and get in touch with your values. And it could be an opportunity for a beautiful and intimate conversation about alignment and connecting at core values. But in order to do that, you have to do your own work. You have to step back and know yourself and kind of really know what those values are so that you can start from that place.
Absolutely. You have to know what your values are and then be able to communicate them without blaming or judging the other person. And that's where it gets really tricky for a lot of people. Because, for example, going back to this client's situation, she might have wanted more connection or more communication with him and didn't verbalize that to him. And then, so if she's not verbalizing what her specific need is, then she couldn't know whether that other person had an interest or desire to meet that need. Sometimes we assume that people know what we need, and oftentimes they don't.
Right.
And needs are basically connected to values. So if we don't know what our values are, then we don't know what our needs are, and vice versa. So it's
right.
really, that self-connection is very, very important in terms of understanding our own values and then being able to tell people in a compassionate way what they are.
Do you actually have suggestions for how you recommend people broach this subject when they are in a relationship, like Valentine's dinner?
Are you thinking of a specific example?
No, this is not going to turn into analysis of Jeff's relationship. No, but I was just thinking about a lot of people use Valentine's Day as an opportunity to go out to a romantic meal or to cook for their loved one or, you know, so we'll take a minute to think about if you are in a relationship, but you may be feeling disappointed or out of alignment and, as you said, I think this can be a delicate conversation to enter into with people, and it's not something that you want to just jump into because you can come across as criticizing, or you know the wonderful romantic dinner you had planned could turn into one long complaint session if you're not careful. So I'm just curious what you recommend to people around that kind of conversation.
So are you? Is the question, how would you broach, how would you communicate with someone if let's say a person were disappointed that someone didn't prepare a dinner for them or didn't ask them out to dinner? That might be a good example to work with.
Yeah, it could be that. Or even in a good situation when you are like having a nice dinner with your partner and you want to have a deeper conversation about values and needs, sometimes it's not easy to get into it without saying there's something wrong first.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's unfortunately what a lot of people do. They focus on what's wrong rather than communicating their feelings and needs. And typically when people focus on what's wrong and focus on judging and blaming the other person, they're not going to typically get the response they want, and they also diminish the likelihood of their needs getting met. So, for example, if one partner blurts out to the other one, "I don't think you care about me," that's already an accusation, as opposed to saying, "I'm feeling disappointed. I'd really like to experience more care from you."
Mm. Yeah, that's great. I think that the place from which you speak, it's very subtle sometimes, but it makes a huge difference in whether or not your partner is going to be open to actually hearing you or going to shut down and feel defended.
It makes a huge difference because most people do not respond openly and favorably to any type of judgment, because the judgment implies that there's something wrong or bad about the other person.
Right.
So and that's why focusing on the self is so crucial, and stating feelings and needs from the I'm feeling, and then whatever that emotion is. Not, "I feel like you're an idiot." That's not stating a feeling. That's stating a judgment disguised as a feeling. Or even saying, "I'm feeling abandoned." Abandoned is actually not a feeling. It's what we think the other person's doing to us. So there's
right.
actually an implicit judgment in that. So it would actually be more connected to say something like, I'm feeling lonely, and I'd really like more connection," or to find a way to speak in the language of pure emotion in order to reach that person, rather than to use some type of judgmental language, which then already puts the person on the defensive and creates the sense of they're wrong or bad.
Yeah, I think that's
so
such
many
a good
examples
point.
Of that I can give. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's no matter what you're doing, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking to myself that whether you're doing this process in a communication with someone you love, or even if you're doing this process in communication within yourself, it's really a delicate place, because if you start from a judgment of yourself or of the other person and you communicate that way, whether subtly or directly, then you're cutting off the potential for intimacy and connection, and very unlikely to get your needs met. So it's very interesting. We switch back and forth between, how to communicate with someone that you're in a loving relationship with, but it's really the same process for communicating within yourself.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's really fascinating what you just said about the judgment. Because one of the things that I teach my clients based on my own training is that it's really helpful for them to begin with the judgment, not necessarily verbalizing that to the other person, but working with that internally and having that judgment be a launching point for understanding what their deeper needs are. So the judgment might be, "Oh, that person's an idiot," "Oh, that person's selfish." They're all, typical judgments that people have. "That person doesn't care about me." And then to go deeper and say, okay, well, clearly, what is the feeling that's connected with that? There's some
right.
anger. There might
right.
be some hurt. There might be some disappointment, frustration.
Okay, so Melissa, hold that thought. That's so cool.
Okay.
We got to take a quick break.
All right.
But we will come back and dig into this conversation.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. Jay and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. Jay is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. Jay on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson, pain relief and healing cream. Topperson relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we are digging into the wonders of Valentine's Day with relationship expert and life coach Melissa Zwanger. And unfortunately, I had to cut Melissa off at a really crucial moment when she was talking beautifully about the dialogue that we have with ourselves at times like this, and also bringing that dialogue with empathy and compassion and without judgment to our loved ones when we want to have our needs met. And Melissa, I want you to jump right back into where you stopped before the break, because we were getting to a really juicy part of our conversation. And I think, you know, you were talking about actually, you know, we said that we needed to let go of our judgments and be able to come from a place of empathy and compassion when we speak about our needs with our loved ones or even within ourselves. But you then were saying how important it is to actually get in touch with those judgments and to have an awareness. And I want you to speak more about that, because I think it's a really interesting place that we all kind of get caught up in whether or not we are being judgmental or whether or not we really are speaking from a loving place, and how to know the difference.
Well, what most people do is they get glued to the judgment and then they don't go beyond that. I do believe it's important to acknowledge what we're saying to ourselves about the situation or about that person, but then to go another step. And the next step is to discover what are the unmet needs that are underneath those judgments. There is always an unmet need, and sometimes multiple unmet needs underneath judgments like that. So typically what will happen is that when a person gets angry at their partner or at a friend, you know, I don't necessarily want to use romantic partners as an example, because this could happen in any relationship, and it does. where we get angry, we get irritated, we want to judge the other person, we think they're wrong or bad. That's usually the first way that the judgment shows up.
Or we get disappointed.
Yes, and so actually, typically what will happen is that the judgment is the very first reaction that we have, but what it's saying is that there is something that we didn't receive. There's an unmet need, and there's a feeling that hasn't been connected with that is underneath that judgment. So we have a choice. When we're angry and when we're feeling triggered and reactive, we can either basically fire a judgment back at the other person, which is what some people do, what many people do. We can fire judgments at ourselves, which is another option, or we can take another road, which is connecting with the feelings and needs that are underneath the judgment and then communicating those in a very grounded and direct way to that person. So, and that's a choice that a lot of people don't make, because I think people don't even know that they have that option, and they may not know how to communicate those feelings and needs. It's not something that we're commonly taught.
Right.
Unless we had super evolved parents who were communication experts, but that's the rare case.
Or unless you're lucky enough to have therapists as your parents or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
And I'll tell you that even many therapists don't know this communication technology that I'm talking about now. Many of them are not aware that those judgments can be translated into self-empathy, which is a really key piece in the communication process, because I really believe that we cannot create a harmonious communication with a potentially mutually beneficial outcome unless we start by giving ourselves empathy. And the process begins when we are connecting to our feelings and needs.
Yeah, what you're talking about is so profound, because as you pointed out, it's something that we have so little training in our upbringings, in our culture. And in fact, in so many cases, whether it's on television dramas, on MTV, or whatever it is, what we actually get from the outside world for the most part is exactly the opposite of what you're saying. Because there's a whole theory that, you know, it's better to vent, you know, tell people exactly how you feel and get it off your chest and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, Valentine's Day becomes a setup. So, you know, you only sent 6 roses and I wanted 12 roses, or, well, why didn't I get the biggest box of chocolates? Or, you know, what restaurant did you choose? Oh, really? So why did we decide to go to that restaurant instead of a more pricey restaurant, or whatever it is? And, you know, then the opportunity is lost, because the minute you enter into the dynamic with another person, as you said, it could be your lover, but it can also be even a friend. The minute you enter that dynamic from a place of judgment and not from a loving space, you're going to get a negative reaction back, and then it spirals downward. And what you're talking about is giving that, it's like stepping back and seeing where that's coming from first within yourself, right?
Exactly. And it's recognizing, it's self-connecting first.
Self-connecting
before communication.
Right.
And it really is a form of communicating with yourself. Communicating really begins with the self. So if we are just in contact with the judgment and that's all we are able to verbalize to the other person, then they're not going to be in a place where they are most likely going to be very open, because who wants to hear a judgment? Who wants to hear someone say that they're bad or wrong, or even imply that they are, in the many ways that we do that?
No, if anything, you're going to shut down.
Yeah, exactly. It tends to alienate people when we imply that there's something wrong with them, or they're not doing it the right way or the way that we want them to do it. Anytime there's an implicit right or wrong, there's going to be a barrier to communication.
So, Melissa, when people come to you and they have this dynamic in their relationship and they know they listen to your approach to shifting that perspective, what do you give them as tips to sort of stop them dead in their tracks before they do kind of spew on someone and ruin that romantic dinner, you know, in the middle of it when you're feeling disappointed or you're feeling frustrated? Or what do you recommend people do? Is there a way that you can stop yourself and sort of take that assessment?
Yes, there is. And the very first step is to breathe. Believe it or not, that sounds really simple, but it is so powerful. When my clients tell me that they're triggered, the first thing I say is stop, take a moment, and breathe. Before you respond, get centered in your body and just breathe. And refrain from responding until you have given yourself enough empathy. And that's what actually happens when you breathe and you focus on yourself and you connect internally. And you can do this whether you're sitting at a, you know, at a dinner table, you can be sitting in somebody's office, you can breathe anywhere you happen to be. The first step is actually to take that breath. And if you're really triggered and you cannot have a resourceful conversation in that moment, you can say, you know what, I'm feeling triggered and there's nothing that I'm going to be able to contribute at this moment to this conversation, so I'd like to talk to you about it later this evening or tomorrow. And what people do instead is they just continue the conversation when they're highly triggered, and that usually erupts into a big fight.
Right.
So there are many ways to graciously exit out of a conversation. That was one of them, but there are so many others. And you know, it's possible to just be honest with that person and say, you know, I'm feeling really hurt, or I'm noticing that I'm feeling angry, and I don't want to continue this conversation until I've had an opportunity to connect with myself and just get clear about what I want to say.
Yeah.
What are some of the needs that I want to express. That is just that alone, buying that time, breathing and connecting into the body is a wonderful way of giving oneself tremendous compassion and attention. And oftentimes just that alone is enough to create a new fertile ground for communication.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because basically the process is very simple, even though none of us are trained very well in doing it, but it has to do with being willing to step back from whatever it is that's come up for you and actually reconnect with yourself and get back into a dialogue within yourself, asking yourself what's going on and getting below the complaint or the disappointment to the need. And that takes a little bit of time. You actually have to, in a sense, take yourself away, but you can do it in a gently supportive, compassionate way, as opposed to you know, like running out of the room or whatever.
Yeah, running out of the room is not the only option. And typically it's best to tell the person what's going on and just to say, you know, to be very matter of fact and just say that I'm not in a place where I can have a productive conversation with you right now. I'm feeling triggered, and so I would rather have this conversation at a later time.
Yeah, that's great. Sometimes it seems so simple to just breathe and step back and connect with yourself and find that empathy within. So we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, I want to close the show by sending out some love and support for those people that are perhaps on their own tonight and thinking about ways that Melissa shares with her clients for reconnecting to the love within yourself. So you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we'll be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching gained from Dr. J and his expert guests, who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am discussing this wonderful, loving, challenging, amazing, difficult, romantic holiday called Valentine's Day with relationship expert Melissa Zwanger. And we only have a few more minutes together, and as I said before the break, I think it would be great, Melissa, if maybe you could share with our listeners some of your tips for making Valentine's Day a wonderful experience for you, even if you're not seeing your loved one tonight. Maybe if your loved one is halfway across the world, or you're not in a relationship, or as you talked about earlier in the call, a client of yours who was feeling kind of down on herself about the past. And there are obviously moments on Valentine's Day when a lot of people get into kind of longing for the future, you know, prince or princess to arrive for themselves. What do you suggest for people to make the most of this day?
Primarily to do very nurturing, caring things for themselves. And for many people, it is an emotional day. So for some, that might look like taking a relaxing bubble bath. For others, it might look like taking a walk somewhere where they really enjoy going. I recommend to people that they actually write themselves a love letter, and in some cases, email it to themselves or mail it to themselves, and just to express all the things that they appreciate about themselves. It's a wonderful way to connect to self-love, and it's really important to have that connection, because the more we love ourselves, the more capable we are of loving others. It all starts with the self.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
The other thing that I recommend too, and I want to say is really helpful for me, is for many people doing some form of spiritual practice which connects them to divine love, which is ultimately the source of love. And so for some people that might be doing yoga, for others it's prayer. I happen to love using just working with crystals. There's one crystal called rose quartz, which is very helpful. When you hold rose quartz, gives you the experience of love. There are many ways that we can experience love, and it doesn't necessarily come from another person. In fact, the more we can access it from the universe directly, the more available we are to have love in our lives all the time.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's beautiful, beautifully spoken, and a wonderful reminder. You know, last week when I was with a group in Mexico, we were in such a beautiful, beautiful place. It's one of the reasons I go every year. It's just south of Puerto Vallarta on the Pacific coast of Mexico. And, you know, we got into a dialogue around Valentine's Day, and the conversation tipped into the topic of loneliness and the distinction between being alone and feeling that longing, that unpleasant and dark feeling they call loneliness. And, you know, one of the practices that I had, those that were having that feeling or that were susceptible to it, and I think we all are to a certain extent, one of the practices that I had everyone do was to spend some time alone in nature, you know, to go out and just be in trees and rocks. And in this case, it was the beach. And I know it's warm there, and so it's easier to do that. But even here, you can go to a beautiful spot like a pond that's frozen over in the wintertime and just connect, as you said, to something that's so much larger than yourself. I think sometimes in moments of feeling lonely, we feel like the world is very small and we feel very separate. And it's that connection to nature, like remembering that you're part of something much, much bigger and much more beautiful, that brings us back into alignment and makes us feel at home in the world. So I always suggest to people to spend time in nature.
I love that suggestion, and I recommend the same thing to my clients. Because we're actually, this earth that we live on is one giant ball of love. And many of us are unaware because we're disconnected from the earth's energy. And so by going out and spending time in nature and appreciating the beauty of nature and literally opening up all the cells of our being to receiving this energy, we can experience the most immense and most beautiful radiant love. We just need to allow ourselves to have that experience, and going out in nature is one immediate way that we can do that.
Yeah,
it's one of the first things I do when I'm feeling lonely and I want to experience more love is I will go outside and I will find some aspect of nature. It could be a beautiful tree or just looking at the sky to reconnect me with the love that's already there.
Yeah, I think that that's really profound, because it's so easy to get caught up in feeling that the sense of belonging and the sense of connection and intimate self-care that you're searching for can only be found by having sort of that perfect lover or that romantic evening or whatever it is. And we all know how wonderful that experience is, but it's not the only access route to feeling grounded and to feeling centered and to feeling a sense of happiness and joy at being alive.
And actually, you make a wonderful point, and I would add to that by saying that when we're in relationship, the best relationships occur when we are able to give love and when we are in a place where we are overflowing with love and we're giving from that overflow. And that is a most fulfilling experience of love, and being with someone else who is also giving from that overflow instead of depending on that person to, you know, to get love. That's when it becomes very codependent and unhealthy, and that's a whole other conversation, but that's a really important one, which maybe we can have at another time.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to have that conversation, but I think that, you know, we're winding down here, and I think that we've hopefully given people a lot to reflect on no matter where they are on this beautiful holiday. And in a place where if you're with a loved one or you're by yourself, step out into the world and go have a walk under the moonlight and count your blessings. And as you said, share your love with yourself and with someone else. And if you want to get support from someone who really knows how to do this in the world, I suggest you reach out to Melissa Zwanger. And she can be reached at, go ahead, Melissa.
My website is yourgoddesscoach.com. That's Y-O-U-R, goddesscoach.com. And my email address is basically my initials, mz@yourgoddesscoach.com. And I'd be delighted to speak with you.
That's great. And make sure that you get on my mailing list at jeffreyhull.com. And make sure you get on Melissa's mailing list at her website, so that we can stay in touch with you. And check back in with us next year on Valentine's Day and let us know whether you've fallen in love with yourself. Have a great week, everyone. It's been a joy being with you, and I will see you next Monday. All the best. Take care.